what I find intriguing and what I like to argue is the problems with Darwin's theories, especially given modern science. I mean, in actuality, modern science has made his theories less believable rather than more believable.
Okay, but when you talk about the problems of his theories,
yeah.
Doctor, are you not taking us then into creationism? You're
no.
basically leaving that for us to make up our own minds.
You bet.
But you do question Darwin's theories.
And let me make And let me make something clear right off the top here as well. A lot of people will say to me, "You mean you don't believe in natural selection?" And actually, I do. And I think that's a natural law. They say, well, you don't believe in survival of the fittest. Absolutely, I do. You don't believe that mutations might cause some kind of change in the species. I do. I believe in that just like I do, you know, water boils at 100 degrees. I think that there are natural laws out there that follow. But what doesn't follow is a change from one species to another. And that's where the problem breaks down, is you can have a bird with a different beak, you can have a rabbit that runs faster and survives better.
Mm-hmm.
You can have a lizard that's more camouflaged and might survive longer. A lot of changes within a species. But when you start going from one species to the next, those changes are monstrous. And let me give you, if I can give you a couple of visuals. For instance, if you took the city of New York,
all right,
and you divided it in two perfect halves, there you were, mirror images of each other. Physically, ridiculously impossible. However, when a human cell divides in half, it's actually more complicated than the city of New York. It does it in duplicates, and it does it in about 6 or 8 hours. And so one says, whoa, where did all those steps come from to get to that point?
And it keeps multiplying. It keeps dividing.
And it keeps multiplying.
Yeah.
And it changes. You take the newborn, not the newborn, the fetus,
mm-hmm.
when it's first conceived, and not only does it start dividing, but it starts changing. It's like a three-dimensional game of dominoes going every which way. And as they go, their dots change, their colors change, and it just plays out. And it has to play out in a very specific way, and it plays out to the tune of 10 trillion cells. And so as a doctor looking at things like that, I started saying, I don't see how this could happen by trial and error. I don't see how it could happen by mutation, the whole scheme of stuff. I mean, just another visual would be your own home changing into the Sears Tower. I mean, that's how many changes you need or more. Talking about plumbing, electrical wiring, painting,
sure.
everything, to go from one species to the next. And there are the fossil record, the arguments, I've been talking about this for quite a while, so I know a number of the arguments. And in fact, I used to be on the other side, so I can almost represent the other side as well as I can represent the side I'm on now.
What got you to switch over?
Well, it's just the evidence started mounting up, and it was, you know, I've been attacked by a few bloggers, and they'll say, oh, just because he doesn't believe it, it's possible, that just doesn't cut it. But the complexity of what's going on is so incredible that it's not just, I don't believe it, it's not in the fossil record. And just to make it a simpler thing, there's something like 14 million species, types of species, and counting. And there's about 250,000 fossils, many of them duplicates. So that means there's well over 13 million species that don't even have one step preceding them.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So, I mean, the fossil record is falling further and further behind. I don't think they have enough scientists, enough people to dig the holes to find the fossils to ever, ever catch up. And that's as if there was just one step before all these. That's one way to look at it. When you look at, like what I talked about, that cell dividing in half, it's like 6 billion nucleic acids, which make up the chromosomes. You have to have had one step, at least, before each one of them. And how did they find each other? And how did they form some kind of something that unzips in a matter of something like a billion bases per hour? I mean, it's lightning fast, almost, on relative schemes. And so one says, wait a second, this complexity is way, way beyond just I don't believe it. But also mixed up in my book is also purposeful design, or so it seems. We grow in a symmetric way. Our left and right sides are pretty close. Most of us are off a little bit. Movie stars a little closer, but we grow proportionally. Our legs don't take off, and then our arms catch up later on. Our eyes are above our nose, so we can see the furthest. We have eyebrows that protect our eyes from sweat and eyelashes to keep the dust out. We have lacrimal ducts, which have tears that they actually drain from upper outer to inner, like a drain, to the inner lower. And so there were no species that had lacrimal glands went the other way. Our nose is right above our mouth where it needs to be to check the food. You can imagine if we'd had a species with a nose beneath the mouth.
Or the mouth on the back of the head or something like
that. Well, yeah, or the mouth or the nose under the arm. I mean, it would just ruin things. And so there are no species with these funny mistakes in the record and the in-between steps. And so, it's very easy to imagine species changing among themselves.
But Jeffy, you can take it beyond the species, though. You can look at the solar system. You can look at the universe, and everything has order to it.
Yeah.
Everything has purpose, even things that we don't understand yet, like dark matter and dark energy. I'm sure it has a reason for being in the universe. And that, to me, is an incredible thing.
Oh, it is incredible. If I can take you back to my end of the world, I mean, just look at where the most sensitive skin is. Well, it's on your fingertips. Look at where you can form calluses. You don't form calluses on your nose or your forehead. You form calluses on your feet. You don't even know where to start. There's a million things. You look at the mouth, food. Think about food. I mean, not only do you have this ability to spot food or hunt it down or nowadays purchase it, but to know that you need it, to recognize that you need it, and then you have your body knows that the food's coming. It can sense it. It can also sense if there's something wrong with it. And so that's all built in like a design. You have the teeth in front that will cut into it like an apple, and the teeth in the back that will grind it. There are no species with grinders in the front and the cutters in the back.